Welcome to our service of Holy Communion from the Book of Common Prayer from St. Margaret's in Chipstead. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee, and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the Church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 18, beginning at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and the chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king, then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. This is the word of the Lord.
We say the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. For today's notices, please check out the appropriate section of the website.
John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world." Today we celebrate the festival of Christ the King. He is our King and we are his subjects. We should serve him and obey him as King of our church, King of our nation, and indeed King of all creation. This feast of Christ the King was invented by Pope Pius XI in 1925. You can see it against the background of that period of history. The world had recently emerged from the horrors of the First World War. There was a profound longing for some guarantee of a just and permanent peace expressed in the foundation of the League of Nations. The authority of the Church and the Christian faith was also under threat. Russia was ruled by an ideology that was actively hostile to religion in any form, and fascism was gaining ground throughout Europe, seeking to use religion, to glorify the nation state. Pope saw the need to call Catholics back to their traditional loyalties and faith. Although it was instituted by a pope, the Feast of Christ the King is celebrated nowadays by Christians of many denominations, including the Church of England. The Anglican lectionary provides a special prayer or collect for this Sunday. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven, that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the Church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace. Bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And these themes of kingship, justice, and peace unite Christians of all times and in all places. They run indeed through Holy Scripture in both the Old Testament and the New. In the Old Testament, indeed, we find two whole books called 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and they tell how Israel and Judah were prosperous and victorious when they had a righteous and pious king, and how they suffered when their rulers oppressed the poor or worshipped foreign gods. So the good king was seen as an intermediary between God and his people. Amongst the great and glorious kings, there was King David, who was victorious in battle, and his son King Solomon, who was famous for his wealth and his wisdom. Now, there are passages in the books of Kings in the Old Testament that look forward to the coming of the Anointed One, the true and perfect King, the Messiah, who would be the King, the true King of Israel. For example, we may be familiar with this passage from Isaiah. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From this time on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So this is the pattern of kingship as we move from the Old Testament into the New. This was indeed the expectation that Jesus came to fulfill. Before he was born, the angel told Mary that her child would inherit the throne of David, that he would reign forever. But years later, as he entered Jerusalem, the crowds welcomed him as the son of David and cried out a blessing on his coming kingdom. They thought he would free them from the Romans and establish Israel as a sort of global superpower. And then it was, indeed, as a would-be son of David, as a so-called king of the Jews, that Jesus was crucified. But that's now not how he understood his own role as a king. He didn't seek to imitate the military might of David, and indeed it was not as king only of the Jews as he saw himself. In John's Gospel, there is a very significant dialogue between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, which has been read to us this morning. Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus says that it all depends. It depends what you mean by that title. So Pilate asks Jesus what he has done to be called a king. Has he challenged the might of Rome? Jesus says that if he wished, he could have led a rebellion, but that was not the sort of king he was. He'd come to teach and to demonstrate the good news of God. "My kingdom," he said, "is not of this world." And these are the words we could keep in our minds as we celebrate the festival of Christ the King. Jesus didn't challenge the Roman Empire. On the contrary, he told the crowds that they should give Caesar his due, should pay their taxes, be obedient to the Roman law, provided that it didn't conflict with the law of God. The kingdoms of this world could act as agents of God's justice and discipline, but it was God who should be worshipped and served as the King of Heaven. Jesus didn't seek political power or influence, but over the centuries, his followers have achieved it. Christianity became the official religion of the empire, which had condemned Christ to death. It is ironic that such earthly power should have been given to someone who never claimed or sought it. But when we celebrate Christ as King now, we need to have in mind both his kingdom in heaven, which will come to earth in the fullness of time, and also we may be sure that we may make what we make of our influence in this earthly realm as his servants. Today, Jesus is recognized as King by millions of Christians throughout the world. He's the Lord of the Church, and we pray for his earthly rule through the Church to expand. As his followers, we have been commissioned to preach his gospel to all nations and make disciples obedient to his teaching. His kingdom is not, as yet, the kingdom of this world, and it cannot be until he comes again in glory. But that doesn't mean that we should be inactive within the world even now. As the Church and as individual Christians, it is our task to spread the gospel of Christ in preparation for the day when he will come again in heavenly power and glory. Well, it's sometimes said that the Church should keep out of politics. If the kingdom of Christ is not of the world, then it would be said the Church should leave the properly elected government to get on with the tasks of national leadership and legislation. But others would say that it is in fact a sign of the weakness of our commitment to our faith that the Church has so little influence on public affairs. Surely we should have more to say. Can we find so little to say on behalf of all Christians as an expression of our common faith? I have some personal experience of trying to express a Christian point of view on an issue of public policy. Some years ago, I was engaged as executive secretary to an inquiry for the Council of Churches for Britain and Ireland on unemployment and the future of work. At that time, there were many who said that it was no longer possible to maintain full employment and that we should seek to make it an acceptable way of life for many people. The inquiry, however, came to a very different conclusion, basing its case on the belief that employment should be seen as cooperation with God in his work of creation. So I'm pleased to think that in this case, Christian teaching was actually being used and given a place in a live policy debate. We might ask then, what are the issues today on which the Church might have something distinctive to say? It's not hard to think of quite a few. We worship God as the giver of healing and of health. We worship him as the Lord of all people, not favouring one nation at the expense of another. Surely his justice and generosity should be expressed in the distribution of vaccine against the COVID pandemic. We also worship God as Lord of the whole earth, creator and preserver of life in all its diversity. So surely we shouldn't be willing to see so much of that creation treated as expendable and destroyed in our ambition to raise what we call our standard of living. Well, we hear of thousands of migrants and refugees fleeing from poverty or oppression, seeking new life in new homes, not least in this country. Surely we as Christians should be offering a welcome to these strangers who are loved by God just as much as we are. They are, in God's eyes, our brothers and sisters, and we should treat them as such. Well, these are all hard challenges and need to be faced as such. Turning these principles of our faith into practical policy commitments will never be easy, but that doesn't mean that those principles should be abandoned. With respect to such grand issues of public policy, it will be said that we each, as individuals, have very little influence on events. But we do have the right to vote in elections and to express our opinions in other ways. When we can, we ought surely to do so and be guided by the principles of our Christian faith. Christ is our King. Christ is our King. In all we do, we should be obedient to his commands. More than that, we owe to him our undivided loyalty and love. We may grant allegiance to our local community, our country, the company we work for, the political party we support, but these are all secondary to our faith as Christians. Above all else, we identify ourselves as servants of God and subjects of Christ the King. And so to him be praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If as part of your discipleship you wish to make a gift to the work of the Church, this is also available on the website. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-loving God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, especially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests and deacons, that they may both, by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace, so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do earnestly and repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God,
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We do not presume to come to this thy table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thy only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself, once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these, thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart by faith, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all thy faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end.
Amen.
Glory be to God on high,
and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesu Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.